Well, Dr. Aragreen, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Let's start with the growing concern that's been happening really across the United States in terms of women's health and the Moderna vaccine, specifically with menstrual cycles. After receiving the Moderna vaccine, apparently some women have experienced many differences in their menstrual cycles. So what does that mean to you? And have you had any patients with these issues so far?
Well, thanks for having us on, first off. We do see some of the literature that comes out across the country regarding the vaccine and some of the menstrual irregularity problems that are being highlighted. And I think just as a way to level set, maybe we should explain a little bit about why it would be that this vaccine would be causing any type of menstrual irregularities. It really comes down to this. We know that the vaccine obviously works by turning on our immune system. And so when the immune system turns on, it's going to actually turn on by the sense of having inflammatory cells that are now going to be very active, right? In other words, you get the vaccine, and your body's going to recognize that that's a foreign agent. And as a result, you're going to create some type of host response, and really it's the inflammatory cells in your body, your white blood cells and other inflammatory responses that absolutely just increase. And as a result, your body reacts to that. And so by doing that, you're going to hopefully develop the immune response that you're looking for, the antibodies that we're looking for. So the thought is that women who get the vaccine, that obviously their inflammatory response increases. And as a result of that, will that change some of their menstrual cycles? Will it have problems with pregnancy? Will it have problems with infertility in particular? So these are the questions that are at hand. I think the reality is that, unfortunately, when some of these studies came out, one of the things that the researchers did not do was to include that as a possibility. So with the millions and millions of people that have now been vaccinated, it's difficult to sort of look prospectively and say, well, who's had menstrual irregularities? And as a backdrop, we know that women can have menstrual irregularities on the basis of a number of different things. I guess the premise that I struggle with is that if inflammatory response is triggering the menstrual irregularities, let's think about when women actually would have inflammatory responses. So in other words, anytime they had some type of infection, let's say, for example, a viral infection or respiratory infection, anytime they would have a bladder infection, anytime they would have, let's say, a superficial skin infection, the body's going to be responding to that by developing inflammatory responses. And fortunately, we just don't see women's cycles becoming irregular as a result of those minor inflammatory responses. So that's why I say I struggle with the premise that inflammation is going to lead to menstrual irregularities. We have not seen any literature. There's a lot of anecdotal, or I should say some anecdotal experience, but I think that medicine has to rely on hard data.
What have been some commonalities you might have found in your patients that are experiencing these issues at this point?
So fortunately, I think that the vast majority of women, when you think of women who are menstruating, it truly is amazing that women actually menstruate month after month after month, and they do this for years. And fortunately, we do see the women, obviously, who have menstrual irregularities. I will say that many women, in fact, have very regular, normal cycles and do not have these aberrant cycles, except that every once in a while they may. And so the question is, well, why would they have these aberrant cycles every once in a while? Is it related to stress? It may be. And that's, I think, that one of the things that we have seen with COVID. So it's kind of hard. We don't want to mix things here, but we know that COVID raised anxiety levels, raised depression levels, raised a lot of different factors in women's lives that could have contributed to this. I will say that in general, we did see a little bit, but not enough to say that there's an association. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. So then if you have women that are of age to bear children, what would you say to them as far as when they try to think about if they haven't received the vaccine already, their menstrual cycle, maybe trying to conceive at some point, and also trying to protect themselves and their loved ones by receiving this vaccine?
So definitely some good literature that looks at infertility rates with women who have received the vaccine. Also some good literature that looks at whether or not there are negative pregnancy outcomes. And there's two large organizations right now that are advocating all women in childbearing age and all women who are currently pregnant to actually undergo vaccination. Those two organizations are really the standards in our country. It's the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, of which those of us who are OBGYNs, we are all part of this large society. That's the group that we all become a part of. And the second is the Society of Fetal Medicine. So those are our high-risk obstetricians that also their organization has demonstrated and encouraged women to continue getting the vaccine if they're pregnant, if they want to become pregnant, and also if they're currently breastfeeding. So those are three big categories that these two large organizations are actually saying, yes, it is safe to use.
And can you explain a little bit more then as to how they come to these conclusions, especially when women of that age are still kind of fixed on the idea that their menstrual cycles might get a little bit changed if they were to take this vaccine?
Great question. A lot of this is retrospective data. And so what happened was that they looked retrospectively at those women that actually were in the initial trials that were getting the vaccine. And they know that a certain portion of those women, it wasn't a large percentage, but a certain percentage of these women actually became pregnant. Whether or not they were anticipating a pregnancy or they unexpectedly became pregnant, what was clear from those initial studies is that there were no birth defects. There were no increase in miscarriages. There were no increasing negative effects. And so that's where the conclusion came out, saying that in that small subset of women, the likelihood of this actually causing any negative outcomes was very, very small. Now, I will tell you that these drug companies, obviously these pharmaceuticals, have these massive registries that they keep track of all of these things. So pregnancy and fertility, infertility, those are things that they are looking at, but that's going to be prospective looking at it. And again, when you think about the millions and millions of people across the world that now have been vaccinated, and certainly the number of women across the world who are pregnant or wanting to be pregnant, I think by and large, I think we're going to see that the negative outcomes are very, very small and probably no different than what we would expect in the general population.
So then I guess let's just try to summarize this then for our listeners in terms of if you're a menstruating woman and you take this vaccine and you see some of these irregularities, it seems to be because it's just the body reacting to it, and it's really nothing serious that you should be looking into. Do I have that correct?
I think that's correct. I think that I would also say that maybe there's other reasons for why they're having the irregularity. It might not necessarily be a cause and effect. So we don't want to say that the vaccine will lead to this. It may be that, in fact, life has been very, very stressful for all of us. Women in particular, who are obviously trying to manage their households, trying to manage jobs, trying to manage their children, trying to manage their husbands, their spouses, their partners. So I give credit to women who obviously probably live far more stressful lives than we do as men. So I'm not sure that it truly is related to the vaccine as much as it may be related to other factors that they might be encountering.
Now, you had mentioned earlier about, I guess, the researchers didn't really look at this part of how it would affect menstruation and things of that nature. So what do you think that the medical field has learned about making sure that these areas would be okay and still be able to survive at somewhat of a regular normality based on what we've seen so far.
Right, and I think that that's the important question. What are we going to do about this in the future, right? What can we do right now? And so there are a couple of research groups. One is out of UC San Francisco, to give credit to the UC system, but there's a research group out of San Francisco that actually is currently looking at this. And so what they're doing is they're asking women in this large group to download their app. And now, these days, it's amazing what you can do with these apps on our phones. But one of those is keeping track of your menstrual cycle. So a lot of women, in fact, do download these apps. So this group out of San Francisco is, in fact, looking at that prospectively and then finding out, did you get the vaccine? Tell me about your menstrual irregularities. What does it look like? And they're going to hopefully be able to summarize something for us in the next year or so. So unfortunately, when you do prospective data, or research, it's something that looks in the future and not necessarily backwards, no doubt, like retrospective data. So that's a group that's looking at that. I will say that Geisinger, one of the things that we're doing up here in the Northeast is that we've been asking tough questions regarding a different group of a different set of women, and that's the menopausal or postmenopausal women. Because what the thought would be that if the childbearing women are having menstrual irregularities, remember, that's the premise that, and again, there's a few of these researchers, one guy's out of Chicago who's really promoting this, but let's say if, in fact, women do have these menstrual irregularities, should we also, or could we expect to see this in women who are menopausal or postmenopausal? Because again, that's the biggest group of women that have received the vaccinations. And I will say that in our practice up here in the Northeast, that we are not seeing women coming into our offices with increased postmenopausal bleeding. So the thought would be, in a roundabout way, that if inflammatory changes were causing some of these menstrual irregularities, why would they not create the same type of changes in postmenopausal women? So that's one of the things that we're starting to look at, and we're trying to gather that data to show that, in fact, it isn't related. There's no association. There's no cause and effect.
So of the patients you've seen so far, a lot of them have been in the menstruation, childbearing age, not really a whole lot of postmenopausal, since I know those types of cases have come up as well.
Right. So when you look at ultimately who is getting the vaccine, first of all, it was the older women. Right. So using the younger population now of menstruating women, of pregnant women, that's sort of the second wave. Remember that we were absolutely looking at vaccinating those women that were 60 and above, because that was the highest risk group. And we are not seeing any increase in any postmenopausal bleeding.
Now, just to turn this over to men real quick, we haven't seen anything in terms of any real serious side effects when it comes to fertility with men, but any concern there? Have you seen any patients regarding fertility because of the male taking a vaccine?
Not with the vaccine. So that's something that no one is reporting right now. Now, I will say that we did see infertility rates go up, obviously, during 2020 related to COVID in general. And that was probably related to the stress levels, anxiety levels, the depression levels that were going up during 2020 as a result of really what the world was facing with COVID. When you look at infertility rates, we would expect more infertility rates in women than men. We were seeing both of those groups, both men and women, having an increase in their infertility. But again, it's hard to tease out how much of that was related to the stressful lives that we were all faced with during 2020.
Have you only seen this with the Moderna vaccine, or have you seen these in patients that have gotten either the Johnson & Johnson or the Pfizer?
So the early reports were Moderna, but they're really trying to look at it in general, because once something comes out, right, related to one vaccine, then the other ones are starting to say the same thing. So fortunately, it's really the population in general that's asking, well, is it only Moderna or is it Pfizer? Can it be the AstraZeneca? So I think that very clearly we're looking at all vaccinations.
finally, Dr. Arguin, just to kind of summarize, so anyone, whether you're postmenopausal, menopausal, and childbearing age, and even men, when it comes to this topic of fertility, it's still okay then to get the vaccine, and you would still encourage them to get vaccinated.
So I think that these are the important talking points. One, we know that the current vaccinations are safe and effective. I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing numbers drop, obviously. It's amazing to see that life might be returning to some normalcy fairly soon. We certainly encourage anyone who is eligible to get the vaccine to actually get the vaccine. No doubt, we also encourage that people talk to their primary care doctors, to their OBGYNs, about the vaccine and its use. The good news is that we certainly can schedule vaccination appointments through My Geisinger or simply by calling 570-284-3657, and we can get you on a vaccination appointment. I think the bottom line is that we are all encouraging the population most at risk to continue getting the vaccinations. As we look now towards the younger population, we're also encouraging our younger population to please get an appointment, get vaccinated. I think that's how we're gonna change the world in 2021.
Well, lots of good information there. Dr. Arguin, thanks so much again for the time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.